where the hope continues to be, is in God Himself. Chapter 4 reminds us of what happens if we reject the grace of God, His offer to us. If you remember, time and time again, for hundreds of years, God had offered forgiveness if they would only repent. He had offered continued patience if they would only repent. If they would just stop worshiping the foreign gods, if they would just stop killing their children, if they would just stop, with their sexual immorality, if they would just stop breaking His word, that He would, in fact, relent. He wanted to relent. There's no father that wants to bring this kind of discipline into their children's lives by any means. Want us to know that we live in a very fallen world, and all God had to do is just withdraw His grace, and this is what's going to happen. And I want us to know that today, if we spurn His voice, if a person refuses to repent and give their life to Jesus, that this same outcome is true for all of us and even into eternity. If God withdraws His grace, there's nothing good. He is the only thing that's good. And I think the more that we begin to realize, the more urgent that we see that it is to live for God, number one, and to help encourage others to live for God, number two. And this isn't just some side issue. This is an issue we must all deal with, right, on a personal level. And if we don't, then all those riches that we think we have, just like they thought they had the temple in Jerusalem, and this would save them because they had the temple there. Certainly God would not allow Jerusalem to be destroyed no matter what happened, because that's where His temple was. That's where He, in essence, dwelt. And yet, even that treasure that they thought they possessed was not enough to save them if they spurned God's grace. And so as we read here in chapter 4, verse 1, how the gold has become dim. How changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuables, fine gold, how they are regarded as clay pots, the work of the hands of the potter. Even the jackals present their breasts to nurse their young, but the daughter of my people is cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness. What do ostriches do with their young? Does anybody know? They desert them. They neglect them. They don't raise their young. They're one of the few animals in the animal kingdom that just doesn't even care for their young. It's kind of a strange sort of a little thing that God instilled into nature to show us the opposite of what should be. That appalls us when we see that, because every other creature takes care of their young in some way, except for people when they become so degraded. How sad is that? Guys, do you see that becoming an issue in our culture? For sure. I remember back in 1972, whenever they were proposing all this abortion stuff, I was just a very small child, but we used to have the news on every night, and I remember my parents talking about it, and them saying that if we would only allow that abortion to begin, then it would get rid of the thing of having unwanted children. I want you to know that since they legalized abortion in 1973, there have been more children abandoned. There has been a dramatic increase in child abuse. And all other crimes against children have just continued to increase and get worse. I would say that whenever we trade in God's grace, what we do is we find God's judgment and His discipline. And that's what's happened. And it's not going to get any better till we go back to that point and we repent and say, God, forgive us, please heal us. That's when we will begin to see something different. You can see it in our school systems as well. As soon as there was an outline of prayer in the school, you can look from that day forward, the test scores in schools just started to drop. The crime rate in schools began to rise. All these things began to happen, and then so often people will blame God. They would say, how could a good God allow that school shooting? Well, didn't we tell God He had to get out? So like, we really have to think about this. It's not God letting us down. It's us having spurned the grace of God. Well, the people of Israel had spurned the grace of God, and they gotten to the point that they had become like ostriches. Even the jackal feeds their young. You know, that's not a very wanted creature, a jackal. But even they have a kindness toward their young. But the people, the people of God had lost their kindness. In fact, in verse 4 it says, "The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread and no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her. Her Nazarites were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance." What's a Nazarite? People that had taken a vow to be totally set apart for God. And it was like a shining example to other people. It was a beautiful thing. But guys, all that, whenever they rejected God's grace, it's like it was no more. There was like no one even set apart for God anymore. How sad. I can tell you the only thing that will help even a people today is to truly turn to Jesus. And we're told, well, you can't insist on that in a country like America because we are totally 100% secular here. We better not be. If we are, we will absolutely fail. I will guarantee it, 100% guarantee on this. We must, as a people, turn to God. Now, we can't force people to become Christians. I got that. But I tell you one thing we can do. We can model our laws after Christianity. We can express our faith outside of this church. And it will draw other people. We can, you know, even though they say, well, like, They outlawed the prayer, you know, as a school. We can't ask to go and pray at the school. You see, these are things we can do and we should do. And you know what? Sometimes they say yes when we ask and we should do it. We can ask for miracles, you know. Prisons are they could be the worst cesspool in every nation of the world. You know, prisons are where all the outcasts go. But you bring Jesus into the prison. And it can transform people, even in the prison. God can do that. And He does. It is necessary that we pursue these things. Otherwise, guys, I'm going to tell you, you know, the title of the message that I was putting together for tonight is "How Bad Can Things Get If We Reject the Grace of God?" Because I read this book and I almost refuse to even go through this book with the church because it is so depressing. And I say, what, do we really want people to come and just leave depressed? We need to come and leave with our hope in Jesus is what we need to do. Because you see, I read this book and it just reminds me there's no hope anywhere else. Our hope is not in our economy. Our hope is not in our military. Our hope can't be in our government. Our hope has to be in Jesus because He's the only one who can really help us. Guys, I'm going to tell you, don't you ever think the thought of, quote, "I could never be that bad." Because I'm going to tell you, if God withdrew His grace from you and you didn't have the conscience that you have that's based on His character and Him living in you, you could too be that bad. And that is a scary thought. You know, do you think all the Nazis that lived in Germany woke up one day and said, "You know, I think I just want to kill a whole ethnicity of people. I just want to murder 6 or 8 million people today." No, it was a gradual turning away from God's grace and believing things that were unbiblical. And before you knew it, they had killed well over 6 or 8 million people. It's still unknown exactly how many people were killed because records were destroyed and people were buried in mass graves. How could a whole nation go there? It's by turning our back on the grace of God. And let me tell you something, folks. The churches turned their backs. The churches, rather than dealing with hearing those carloads of Jews scream as they went by, they said, rather than deal with it, sing louder so we don't have to listen to that. You need to sing louder so it doesn't disturb the people coming to our churches. And I can tell you, they turned their backs on the grace of God. But not all. There were a few. And most of them got assassinated right alongside of the Jews. Brother? Yeah. At one time. Very much. Absolutely. Our hearts, just given up to our own natural inclinations, are desperately wicked. It is only when we rely on God that we can claim any good in us. And it's His goodness in us. Shall we? We are that way with the unborn, and we are becoming that way with the disabled. And we are becoming that way with the elderly. We must, as a people, repent of this and turn back. It is important. If you ever get to thinking, well, you know, this is such a one-issue thing, and people accuse us of, as being one-issue voters and all that, I am proudly a one-issue voter when it comes to this. I am thankfully a one-issue voter when it comes to this, because if we don't start honoring the individuals who are created in God's image, guys, why would God want to protect us and save us? If we continue to murder our unborn babies at the rate of 1 million a year or so, at one time it was more than that too. Thankfully it's declining, but I want us to know, like, it is very important that we stop doing this. Just because a baby has Down syndrome, does that mean they don't deserve to live? I'm telling you, it grieves my soul. Have you seen some of the Downs people that they've done these personal testimonies and stuff? I'm going to tell you, they are some of the most joyful and loving people sometimes. They bring such joy into these families. If we'll just accept God's love for our life, God has got a special blessing for us. And that's just one type of disability. Guys, I'm going to tell you, any time that we just accept what God has for us and we consider it as a portion of God's grace, and maybe sometimes in disguise, then I just want us to know that God has a blessing in store for us. Those children deserve to live any more than any of us deserve to live. Let's protect them. Let's stand for them. Let's praise God for them. You know, all of us can think of a disabled individual in our life that needs a little extra help. For goodness sake, let's not look at them and think, you shouldn't even have been alive. How terrible and how barbaric is that? You know, you look at Cord here in our own church. I miss him when he's gone. He's one of the most loving, beautiful-hearted individuals in our church. You know, nothing against the rest of you guys. I love all of you. But I'm going to tell you, Cord's got a special place in my life, you know. I'll never forget the day we baptized him, and he came up out of the water with such a shout of joy. And then he told everybody out there, I love you. He had been practicing being able to say that, folks, for that moment. You know, I'm just going to tell you, I almost couldn't come out and preach after that. I went back to my office, and I began to change back into my clothes, and I wept to the core of my soul. I have never experienced anything so beautiful before with a human being in my life. He loves Jesus. His heart is for Jesus. And I get so tired of hearing a segment of our society say they shouldn't even live. How dare we go there? God said he should live and we should embrace him. And you know, we really need to understand, guys, it's God's grace that allows us to be able to do this, to be able to love, to be able to nurture, to be able to take care of our young ones, to be able to raise godly offspring. And we need to pray that God's grace would continue to be poured out in us and through us to this nation. And even if every person doesn't end up being believers, we still should pray that this nation will model Christian values. If it doesn't, then even those who once modeled piety or a great life, or there's another word that's used for Nazarite there in verse 7. It could also mean nobles of their people. Even their nobles or their Nazarites, they used to look so so good, but now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Guys, here's the deal. When judgment like this comes, it doesn't skip anybody. Anytime that you want to wonder what can happen to a nation that was once a Christian nation, you look at the of North Korea. That was once like the Jerusalem of the East. It was an incredible thing to see. It was almost a completely Christian nation at one point. And now it is the darkest nation on the face of this earth. Whenever you go into North Korea, some would say, boy, you know, we might not as a country should have gotten involved in Korea at all with the spread of communism. Praise God we did. Otherwise, the entire peninsula would look like North Korea. I mean, it is a terrible thing what they do to their people and how they rule their people. And Christianity is so outlawed there. And I can be honest with you, what happened was compromise came into the church. If you read the history of the Korean Peninsula and the church there, compromise came into the church. Japan came and they set up, I think it's pronounced Shintoism, and there was a demand there. They actually ruled over them, and there was a demand there that everybody bow down to their emperor as a god. And so the church decided that maybe it was a necessity, that maybe they just needed to go along with it. And they folded on this issue. And then after they were kind of set free from all of that, they had a discussion among the church whether or not they really should repent of that. And as a whole, the church kind of had an argument, and they started to split over it, and then they just decided just to compromise on it. I think had they repented, Korea may look very different today. But I think there are consequences for, especially when the church folds and compromises whenever it comes to godly principles. I'm going to tell you, we have been the one thing that's held this nation together all along. I don't say that out of boastfulness or arrogance, because I've only been part of it for the last 20 years. I was part of the problem before. But I am absolutely committed to say that God would have saved Sodom and Gomorrah if he'd have found 10 righteous people. Just 10. Because he told Abraham he would save it for 10. Jesus said, I'm coming back at a day I do not announce. Will I find faith when I get there? And so if he comes to Cadet Baptist Church, if he comes to the Jones household, I pray that's what he finds when he gets here. And I pray that you pray the same thing over your home and over your lives as well. And I would say that if he would have saved Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 people, he would definitely continue to save the United States for... How many Christians do you think are at least professing in the nation? Southern Baptist alone, how many, like 20 million or something like that? I don't know. It's a bunch. But even if you just took 10% of them, say 20,000, and we salt those all over, that can be a very significant presence. Not to mention all the other evangelical churches that are serious about serving the Lord. We know that we have brothers and sisters that serve in all kinds of either denominations or non-denominational churches that are really sold out to God. Let's join with them in prayer. Let's stand for God. Let's accept God's grace, and let's continue to pray and stand for America and to be a nation modeled after what Christ wants, because I can tell you, he can do it. And we just need to be a part of what he's doing. Do not compromise and do not fold. Otherwise, we're going to end up like them. We'll be coming back to this right around verse 9 next week. But just know that for us to be great, we must continue to be good. And that's what was said of us many years ago whenever they came to investigate this Christian or this American experience and how we grew to such greatness. And it was said by the gentleman who came from France, I think it was, that he had studied America and all of her greatness, and he didn't find the greatness was in the government. He didn't find the greatness was in all these different areas of life. As he went across America, he went to the churches and he heard what was preached from the pulpits, and he realized, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, she won't be great anymore. And I can tell you that is a true, absolutely true statement. And so it's just a matter of us standing for God right now. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's going to get hard. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. You're going to be hated for Jesus' name's sake. He told us so. But it'll be worth it. That part I do know for sure. So we just need to stand. And just stand on what is true. We're being called to compromise in a lot of areas, even in public life. And I know we're experiencing it in our own family a little bit. It's just, we've got one of our family members just decided he's a girl, you know. And we love him. But I'm going to tell you, I just cannot. I can't lie to him. As hard as it is, and as much as I think he does know that we love him, I am just not going to be able to go along with this thought of all of a sudden now he's a girl. You know, maybe I avoid pronouns. I don't know. I haven't decided exactly what is the right thing, but I just can't go along with this. I don't know. I don't even know how to. I know they call it transgender, but I can't even use the word because, guys, you can't change your gender. It's written in your DNA. You can change body parts, you can wear different clothes, but you can't change gender, and I just can't, and we're being called to go along with this, and we just can't do it. Praise God for the ones who lovingly didn't bake the cake or lovingly couldn't take the picture. And many of them offered other alternatives because I don't think they were being unloving, but they just had to say, I just can't sanction and bless this. Now, I'll do a lot of other things, but I just can't bless it. You know, I love you as a person, and I will continue to. You know, the lady with the flowers. I heard the way, you know, she had an ongoing relationship with that gentleman when she refused to supply the flowers and celebrate the wedding. All of a sudden, they're trying to strip her company from her, taking her to court and suing her. We've heard of cake bakers and things of that nature. There may be a price to pay. Maybe a price to pay when you get together and you take up videos of what Planned Parenthood's doing selling baby body parts the way they are. That man has been continually in court ever since. They didn't do anything to Planned Parenthood, but they're suing him. They were threatening him with actually doing time in prison because they say that he lied to make his report. He's an investigative reporter. That's what they do. That's what they all do when they make an investigative report. They pose like they're somebody different. Hello? It happens all the time. You know? It may cost us something. But didn't Jesus say it would be worth it? So we just have to stand and we have to do it in love. But we need to do it publicly. We need to be the same person outside of this church that we are when we come inside. And if we'll do that, I'm telling you, God will save America. I believe he will, no doubt. Anna, you had your hand up, Victor? Yeah. You know, and I mean, we don't, I encourage you, please do not be hateful toward anybody. We do not have an ivory tower that we can look down and judge people and say what their ultimate location is going to be. God saves people out of those situations too, and it is awesome whenever he does. We just need to continue to speak the truth in love and pray. I saw the guy who had gone through all this, sex change stuff, and he had like tattooed lips and things of that nature. And he had a video that he put on and on Facebook, and he said, it was showing on Facebook. He had done it in some other venue. But anyway, he was saying, you know, all the time I was going through this transition, I had people that were around me that went to church that said they were Christians. And he said, then eventually, you know, Christ did get a hold of his heart. And he did give his life to Christ. And he said, now I'm stuck with this. And he said, at first I was really ashamed of it, but now I use it as like a thing of honor that I can show people, don't go here. But he said, I got one question. And I'm going to tell you, this question has haunted me all along after this. That guy looked at camera as though he was looking me right straight in the eyes, and he goes, the only question I got is from my Christian friends. Why didn't you say something to me? He He said, how dare you stand there and celebrate what I was about to do because you knew better. You say you loved me and you knew better and you let me do this. That's true. They may not have been able to stop him. But should that man stand there and say that not one Christian person tried to tell him different? That is terrible. What is wrong with us? And you know, I watch how oftentimes we are just silent. When things get hard or things get tough, we can be silent. I can tell you, love is going to tell the truth. It's just going to tell the truth, and it needs to do it out of love. And we need to, you know, we need to be over and abundantly clear. This is out of love that I'm telling you the truth. But we need to make sure that we do speak the truth. That's love. Brother? It really is the image of God that's being attacked here. It really is. And the thing of it is, you know, even at the end of the day, we're just unprofitable servants. You know what I'm saying? That's what Jesus said. We're no better. But we are responsible. We're responsible to do with what we know. And so, for all of you that have already incurred some abuse for this, these different things that I'm talking about, then praise God, but know that the next thing is just around the corner. Just be ready. Just be ready to make it up in your mind, a purpose in your heart, like Daniel and his three friends. I am not going to be defiled by the king's delicacies. A purpose in your heart that you're going to stand for God no matter what, even if it means to your death. And then it's already worked out even before you get to the struggle. You already know what you're going to do, right? You're just going to stand for God. Let me pray, and we'll be dismissed. Dear Father, I want to thank you that when we stand for you, we stand with you, and you stand with us. And Lord, I'm always thinking of our dear brother Stephen, the first recorded martyr. Lord, as we see that Stephen stood and he proclaimed what he knew, and they stoned him. And I guess James was probably actually maybe the first recorded one, the disciple. But nonetheless, we see that early on Stephen was stoned. And something that always gets to me is that he looked up and he could see you, Lord Jesus, standing in heaven to receive him. Man, it just reminds me, you're right there with him. And Lord, as those stones were coming at him and he knew they wanted to kill him for his proclamation to him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Exact same words Jesus said. Lord, help us to rely on you in the same such way, no matter what happens to us. We will see it to be an honor to stand with you. And Lord, thankfully, we're probably not all going to get stoned to death, and I'm glad for that. I'm kind of hoping maybe I don't. But, Lord, if I do, help me to be faithful to you, no matter what. And so, Lord, but also, even if it just comes down to maybe being embarrassed, or maybe being afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings, or being afraid to be the only one to stand out, help us to do it anyways if you lead us to, because I know if we stand with you, you'll stand with us. And so, Lord, please just bless us to have the strength just to stand with you on all things as a church and as individuals, and that we would be a good witness in our community. Number one thing to stand with you on is prayer, to encourage others to pray everywhere, to not be afraid to pray in public, to not be afraid to pray when we're around the school or even in the school, but that we'll stand with you on these issues because I truly believe it invites your grace. And so, Lord, thank you that they're still praying in Congress. I heard that a bunch of the legislators got up and left the Virginia legislate. I don't remember if it was the House or one of their legislative sessions, whenever the pastor who was asked to come and pray started talking about the value of life. And out of protest, they just got walked out. I say, I'm sorry for them, but I'm not sorry for that pastor. Because he was faithful. Help us all to be faithful. And Lord, we know that you can save America. You can make an America one that you can bless. And I pray that you would. But even if you don't, we're still going to stand with you. Help us to be faithful as Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for coming tonight.